But the big news this week is it's all G-Dog versus KK. Have you had a chance to see it yet?
I haven't watched it yet. I'm very excited. Have you watched it?
I did. I saw it last night, and I don't want to get anybody's hopes up because I think, like, expectation is, like, the way, like, you have to sort of fly in on the right expectation or these kinds of movies will go south. But I feel like after several tries, and I followed, but like, I love the Kong franchise. I love the Godzilla or the Titans or Monsters or whatever they call them. I feel like they, like the first one where Quicksilver is like a soldier, like a little too serious. And then like the last one with Gojira, maybe a little like too not serious. But I feel like they finally hit the tone. Like, the tone is finally right in this one. And, like, the fights are unbelievable. It's just, it's a total delight. And I think the director, like, did a really good, it's like, even the sort of spectacular scenes, the non-CGI scenes are, you know, they move at a quick pace. The actors are all really tight and likable. I really loved it.
That's good. Yeah, I mean, I really love the first one, but I think I completely understand the faults of it. And like, I like the ground, like I always wanted like ground level monster movie. And you kind of get field. Yeah. And that's close. And that's why I was like, was it Half Century War, that James Stokoe one? Mm-hmm. Because that's like following this guy who fights Godzilla like over 50 years. But yeah, the second, I mean, we've talked about it, which will lead into what we're talking about. I'm fairly like lenient and going like kind of carefree to shows or movies. So I'm not like usually overly disappointed, except sometimes when I watch things.
Except in the egregious cases when you can't feel anything but.
Yeah.
I think that there was a like the last movie was a little the people parts, like all the Godzilla stuff was fine, and like getting to see Gojira and all the heads who absolutely phenomenal. The people parts were a little bad, and like some of it was like a little uneven. But it had such a beautiful trailer, like that very first one with like the Mothra wings and the Claire de Lune soundtrack. It was just so different than those trailers tend to be, and really like amped up the expectation for it. Like you, I also like the first one. I like the first one, but I also sort of like that sort of like reality-based kaiju as they become more ridiculous is hard to. It's just like when it's just one sort of weird phenomenon, you can pull it off. But when it's like there's a huge
Carrying that into the second movie was and that's why like the characters in the second movie felt like way more over the top than even the monsters.
Yeah. Yeah. What's her name? I can never say her name. The mom, the crazy like monster loving mom. The thing I think in this one, it's Batman Forever. All accounts, terrible movie, but Uma Thurman fully knows what movie she's in. She is sort of playing for that house. And I feel like all the acting in this is along that beam. You know, like I think they kind of get to the movie that they're in. They're having a little fun. I don't think they're winking fully at the camera, but they like, you know, they have to ridiculous lines, like fully ridiculous. I don't want to spoil any because they're also so much fun. But it's like, if you want that, like if you want, you know, the thrills that packs, you kind of have to like go along for the ride. And it's great to have people who are just buckled in, like, you know, come on, let's go. I totally love it. Can't say enough good things about it. Yeah. I hope you enjoy it as well.
Yeah, I think either tomorrow or Sunday. I got to get Falcon and Winter Soldier in this week too. And that one I watch with the wife, so.
Oh, nice. Is she liking it?
Yeah, I like it. I mean, I was not overly worried, but I mean, again, if it was bad, it's not gonna like ruin my day. But yeah, I fucking love it.
I like it more than I like WandaVision, to be honest.
Yeah, same. I feel like WandaVision, like if that was a movie, even my qualms with it coming away, I still thought it was like fantastic. But I would have liked it as a movie. I feel like having it spaced out over the TV shows, which was, you know, part of the, you know, the motif they were going for, built up people's expectations, and they were like, oh man, it's going to be Mephisto or something. And like within the context of like a single movie, I thought that was fucking brilliant. Like that it was just her, and obviously everyone knew it was her, but like,
yeah. And the Mephisto stuff, I gotta say, like, to me, Mephisto, like, we went through this before with like, I feel like every Star Wars movie, there's some guy in the back yelling, "It's Darth Plagueis!"
Yeah.
And which isn't to say that anything they did is better than Darth Plagueis, but like, I feel like it's always just sort of it, like, to me, Mephisto was the Darth Plagueis guys again, or people, I shouldn't say guys. You know, with the, up to their same old shenanigans. It's like, it's not fucking Mephisto, you idiots. Sorry, not idiots. enthusiastic fans.
It's too big a like retcon, not even a retcon, but it's too big like of something to throw into, I feel like, a TV or movie universe that, while it's been around for a while now, is like, you know, it's okay to use in comics because, again, there's a comic a week coming out of something. So like, you know, if we do something like that, that's not a big deal. But like, if you have a TV show and you introduce the devil who can like, you know, alter reality, like, what's the point going forward? Like, I mean,
yeah, no, I've enjoyed the start of Falcon and Winter Soldier. I shouldn't have said I liked it better than WandaVision. I think it's like we're on more familiar terrain, and I think they're making some interesting choices with those two characters as far as like where to position them. One little thing, I know that we're not supposed to. I kind of like U.S. Agent. Like,
oh, I know. Yeah, I'm wondering this episode. I think they'll probably get more into it because I haven't watched today's when we're recording on Friday. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I'm hoping he's kind of just like, I'm hoping he's just kind of like along for the ride, and like he, you know, finds out he's being used or something, and is just like, you know, here's your shield back. I'll go under the U.S. agent moniker, and like, you know, we'll chill. Because like him and shit, what's it? Is it Death Dealer? No. Oh, what's his partner? He's an actual.
Oh, Battleship.
Battle? Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I fucking love him too. And I was like,
when they had him in the locker room and they introduced his wife, and then they introduced Battleship, I was like, well, you're kind of like, you're making it hard to hate this guy.
Yeah.
But I think it's good.
The show already has it's like where the villains are like, oh, we want world.
Yeah. Peace. Yeah. They're burning bros.
Like, oh, fuck those guys. No thanks. All of that.
No, I I like what they're doing. I think the sort of like, I think the complicated, complicated good, complicated bad. You know, Bucky's got his own stuff. It's a more interesting place to start than I thought they would.
Yeah,
but this isn't. Show, oh, go ahead.
I would say I had two. I watched all of WandaVision and even the like Quicksilver thing. I was like, oh, that's cool. I like verbally gasped when Bartok showed back up. I was like, my wife is like, who is he supposed to be? Somebody? I'm like, he's Bartok the Leaper. He was back.
The Leaper.
And she's like, I was like, he's in Winter Soldier. And she's like, I don't remember him. I was like, oh, he's the guy who got his ass kicked like in the first 5 minutes. And then when they had Isaiah Washington, I was like, I'm like watching it. I'm like, oh, that's Isaiah Washington. And she's like, I don't know. I'm like, oh my God, I'm so excited. But then I was like, maybe that's Patriot. She's like, I don't care.
Yeah. This isn't a TV show recap program. We read and review the best comic books of all time. So tell me, Kyle, what was the greatest comic book of all time that you read this week?
Well, the greatest comic book I read this week of all time. I always fuck up the name. Was Invincible, and no real. So I read. I know we were kind of trying to decide what we were reading to coincide with something else that came out. So I ended up just reading the first Ultimate Collection, which I think is the first three trades. I don't know if that takes you.
Yeah. You know, it's funny because when we were discussing, you were like, let's read up to where we're at in the story. And I was like, well, wait. That's a little, it's a how much are you suggesting, sir?
Yeah, they, so what, that'd be 12 issues. Yeah, so that's a year's worth of Invincible. Yeah, before we get into the obvious, I think it was on this, it's like history with Invincible.
I specifically right, when remember the trailer came out.
I was not aware this was a book, and then I had to go buy it, because I was very excited. Borders was going out of business, and they had 30 or 40, I think it was like 30% off the books. So I was in the store, and they had like the first four Invincibles at the time. And I was like, oh, I've been wanting to try this. So I bought the first one. I went home, I read it. And then that night I went back and bought
ran back to Borders
and bought the rest of them. I was familiar with Kirkman from Walking Dead, Marvel Zombies, and some other stuff. Never that big into Walking Dead. I think I read the first copiendum worth of it. I think it goes up to a little after the prison. I don't even think I ever made it to Negan, to be honest.
Negan. Yeah, no, I didn't. I also didn't get to Negan. Well, that'll come up later. Stick a pen in that.
Yeah, but I loved Invincible. Was one of like my favorite reading. I was reading it in the Ultimate Collection, so I was waiting, and it was killing me, especially when it ended, and I knew it ended, and I wanted to just read it, but I waited, and I would get them, and I would read them in a day, and then I'd be like real depressed that I had read them, and. I think it's like leaps and bounds better than anything he's done, and I think he's good. I think generally he's fairly good. Can't think of a whole lot of other stuff I've been too invested in of his, but I think this kind of like fits right into his wheelhouse with the huge cast of characters. I think he manages them better in this than Walking Dead. But the first trade of this first collection, like, I think is like one of kind of the best like intros to a story and character, and where it kind of sets up, and then the world he builds where he gets insane later on.
Yeah.
With your history.
So what did you think of the, what did you think of the show?
We'll get into
or do you, is there any more like pipe fillet?
Because even to talk about the comic, I guess we would have to talk about it in comparison to this show. So we watched the first three, which the fourth one I think came out today, maybe.
I downloaded the Prime to my phone so I could watch it at the gym. But then I was like, I didn't. It doesn't.
Yeah, I was gonna say
spoilers. I was like, this is terrible. What am I doing?
Spoilers. Yeah, I don't know if I even want to watch the fourth. I don't like it. I don't like it at all. I don't want to say I don't like it at all. It's not that I don't like it. Doesn't, for me, it doesn't capture anything that I liked about the comic, and I think it like makes a lot of missteps, which they change a lot of things for the show, which I guess makes sense, but like it's a show, so they have the room and time to play with stuff, and like they just like straight up condense everything fairly quickly. I feel like they lose like a lot of the development that I really liked, especially in this first kind of arc where we're at in the first 3 to 4 episodes. You like it?
Kyle,
which is okay.
I was playing Puppet Master actually, because I was gonna do this like surprise heel turn. I thought you would be like, oh, I love, because like I know that you love the character and I know you love the series. So I was gonna wait for you to sort of say, and then I was gonna be like, fucking hated it. This is trash. Like, because I thought it would be so great, because I feel like we don't always agree, but we're always on the same side. Like the whole point of the show is we talk about stuff that we like, and like generally speaking, I think like, you know, like we have different takes on the things that we like, but it's always like to be up on stuff. And then I know that when it came out, I was like, well, let's try it out. But after I watched the first episode, I was like, I cannot in good faith defend this. This is and I don't want to say, let me step back. I don't want to like shit on any, but I think it like, I think a very solid argument, I think, for why it doesn't succeed at, like, it's not a good adaptation. It's not really a good story. The animation is really depressing. Like, I feel like it's a triple threat. Like, nothing worked.
And it's all things that I'm not really sure they should work, because they work in the comic, and I understand like adapting something is difficult, but again, you're adapting it for TV, so you have the ability to kind of space it out. I mean, the story they're trying to tell is the first 12 issues, and like, you know, a season could be anywhere from like, you know, 9 to 12 episodes. So you have that. And like, one, the biggest thing is like the reveal of Nolan in the first episode is garbage. Uh-huh. Like at that point, like what's so great about the comic, and even by doing it, it pays off at the, like the end, is like they build Nolan to be a character who you like. Like,
right. He has like the whole arc. A person you like, you are betrayed when you find out he is bad. And then you root for him when he is redeemed.
Yeah, and like there's subtle things in the comic, and they try and do it in the show, and it just doesn't work. It's fucking weird. Like there's so many, like so much dead time in the show. Like I don't understand. There's like a lot of like weird silence and like breaks, and like they'll like hang on Nolan for a bit, and you're like, I get it. He's like a bad guy. Like they make it one so obvious. They make him an asshole, which like was so interesting kind of going back and reading it, because in the comic he's not. And like the things they play up on, like, you know, he seems disappointed that Mark doesn't have his powers, but he doesn't want Mark to get them because like, he doesn't want to have to,
the next
bring him into that. But like, he makes him an asshole. Like the fight they have in the show, which is like a huge, you know, center point for the first like 1 to 2 episodes, like does not exist in the comic really. And like, it just makes me not like interested in him at all. Like I don't, like, especially again with the reveal in that first episode, like from going forward, you can't like him. Like you can't be endearing to him. And like, so one, this will only be valuable to the, I'll describe it, but in the show, there's a part where Invincible goes out to like do his first Spider-Man moment, he's wearing that like real shitty costume, homemade costume. So in the show, like Omni-Man like flies down and is in his Omni-Man suit, and he's like, "You look ridiculous," and it's like a real like antagonistic moment. And like in the comic, it's like looking here, like he like is like watching him from the side, and he's like in his dad outfit, and it's like really like, you know, playful. And he's like, "Hey, let's go get a costume." And it's like a really sweet moment. And in the show, they just fucking make it like really uncomfortable. And I'm like, I don't like this guy at all. Yeah. And again, with obviously spoilers for Invincible, like he eventually comes back and he is like a really good counterpoint to like Mark and his life, and you know, he has a family and he gets back together, and like it's so good. And like it, none of that, I don't know how they would do that with the show. I mean, I know how, like, they will try to do the same thing, like, oh, you know, I was happy but I didn't want to. It's they're trying to do the same thing. It just doesn't work the way they're pacing it. The pacing in the show is fucking weird. I don't understand. Like,
completely agree. I think Robert Kirkman has a kind of, I think he has a trick. I think he starts off with a lazy premise, and then as the premise snowballs, like 10 or 11 issues in, like that's when things start to like, when the, like as the invincible world, expand, like it's like the Simpsons universe, as Springfield fills up, suddenly the world like starts to take on its own life. And that's when I think, like, cause I feel like, like this is the thing with The Walking Dead. It's just like the idea is like, okay, what if, you know, 60 days after, 28 days later, what happens? And so like the initial story, the kickoff story is frustrating to get. And I think like it's hard to stick with that story long enough for it to build, you know, the arms and extensions that make, I think, Walking Dead ultimately the story that people are more invested in and really like. And I think that there's a little bit of an Invincible because it, you know, it's peddling a lot of tropes, but the way he the life he brings to those tropes is what like makes it interesting and exciting. But if you are going to consolidate it into a first episode to sort of pitch this world, you're going to have the sort of like the problems that like everything prior, episode one, everything prior to the credit sequence is hard to watch. Like, anyone who likes that story is not going to like anything that happens after the credit sequence. You know, like it's very, it's a little junior. It's sort of very targeted. You know, it's like a kid in high school who's got these high school problems, and the sort of like the conversations around becoming a superhero are very, like everything is tropey, like you said, the Spider-Man moment, and the like, it's a series of these sort of moments, and then stuff that doesn't, like when grafted on, doesn't make any sense. Like it's sort of like this kid's hero worship of his dad, which earned through the story makes sense, but when you sort of see it, like what kid, like what kid's favorite hero would be his dad? That's just not, you know, obviously yours do, Kyle, but apart from that, like this is not how humans act. So like, all those contrivances just feel flat and unreal and not particularly enjoyable. And then when it does the sort of like the reveal on Nolan, who you're right, they've been hinting at, but because the animation is so bad, it's not like he has these sort of sinister shadows and you sort of like, what's that guy doing lurking around? It's just flat, terrible animation. And you're like, why is this pausing for 30 seconds?
Yeah.
Is there a delay? Did they edit this poorly? What the hell? So what you get is the worst of everything. And then the sort of like I love the violence in Quentin Tarantino movies. The reason I don't like violence per se, but like he has such a joy and enthusiasm for it. Like, and you're seeing a person express himself in a way that he clearly loves to express. It's hard to not get caught up in that sort of like giddy revelry. And the violence as we see it at the end of the episode is so edgelord and meant to be shocking, and as a like it just feels like if you don't know the story and you're watching it, of course you're thinking like, well, what's the other shoe that's going to drop? And then I also think it sort of like it makes the last 20 minutes of television like a wasted investment because it's just so not the story you're in. And then when they finally get to the stuff, like it starts to unroll, like you're saying, the pacing on it is ridiculous. It's like they're checking all the boxes as quickly as possible. Love triangle, check. Weird relationship with bullies, check. New super team that he's going to form, check. What about my dad? Is he crazy? Check. Like, they're doing it so quickly, there's no room to breathe. And even the fun parts of the show, Alan the Alien, some of the stuff with, what's his name? Diabolical, the demon detective.
Dark Blood.
No. You think, yeah. You, yes, Dark Blood. Like it's so isolated in this sort of like in this chain of events that don't. I couldn't have been more like bummed, and probably not as bummed as you are because you like this book as much.
Yeah, and I mean, if I was like a normal comic fan, I would be very upset. But again, I don't like. It's not. That's the thing, and like, hopefully, most people take away. Like, it doesn't. Obviously, it doesn't ruin my reading of Invincible.
Oh, right. You know, of course.
Like, it makes me going back to that. And that's what was cool about this, like, going back and reading it. Because it's probably been forever since I've read this first arc. Yeah, like, the things they're choosing to kind of hang their hat on are the things that I don't feel like the comic did. Like, him being... The comic does center around, like, Mark and his troubles of being a teen and a superhero, but not in the way they're doing it in the show, which is weird because I don't think it's like it's a fine line. Like in the comic, I think I don't remember which issue it is, but I think it might be when he goes to fight Alan. He does that again. That's a really great moment where outshines his dad, and like in the comic, like his mom like calls him out on it, and like. Again, in the show, it's like this weird it's weird. And then he's like, all right, I'm done. Like, and he goes up to his room and he sees his homework and he like, he's like, oh shit. And he has to do his homework. And like, that's cool. But they don't like, it doesn't like, I don't know how to describe it. Like on the show, they're really centering on like, oh boy, like being in high school sucks. And like, I don't know. It doesn't feel the same. And then also again, I think they're centering on the Omni-Man stuff, which you could do, but had to do it in the first episode. Now it's like this.
Yeah,
it doesn't. The audience knows, but then it's also a mystery. And because I'm trying to think, that doesn't happen until I think volume 2. And
isn't it issue? Is it volume 2? I thought it was like earlier than that, but I.
Let's see. I know it's. Yeah, I think it's well into volume 2, because it's after the Alan stuff. Because they do the really cool thing about that issue is they bring in a bunch of artists to do the origins of, so it's number 7. So
oh yeah,
which again, that's like a good chunk into the series, and again, they've established this great relationship, and then they do, you know, so that's 7, so 8, 9, 10, 11, so another like 5 issues building that out, and then you have the fight between Mark and Nolan. So like that has weight because you've sat with that for 5 issues.
Yeah.
And like again, like if this was an Invincible movie, I could understand, like, you know, we gotta condense it. Like that would be the movie or something. But it's like a show. Like why do this? I mean, there's just little things I don't know. I hate the way they change, like I think indicative of the comic versus the show is they changed the way he got his name. Is his dad telling him, like, you're a teenager, you think you're invincible. In the comic, it's after the fight with the principal telling him, like, you know, you don't have to stand up for people, you're not invincible. And, like, that light bulb moment. Like, that, I think, like, is, like, a small difference between, like, what the show is trying to, like, again, hammer home versus I think what this like subtlety of the comic tries to do. And like you said, the violence in the comic is not like, it is over the top and it is like known to be a violent comic, but I don't feel like it was ever violent for the sake of violence. And in episode 2 or 3 where Omni-Man goes to the alien world and just like, that's not, again, that's not in the comic. Okay, that's fine, but like it's just like, you know, let's have a minute of him just destroying this world and being ultra violent and like dragging this guy's head across the ground. And
no, I think that, I mean, again, I'm not like this is not an argument about violence and story. I'm fully on board. Doro Hidoro, I think the violence is lunatic, and I love it all. But I also, I mean, I feel like it's good faith. You know, it's like someone is trying to it's like a dance sequence in a musical, you know, like it's intended to convey stuff about the story. It's intended to move the plot along. It's intended to sort of like, it's a part of the storytelling is this expression. And I think in great storytelling, violence exists that way. And then in gratuitous storytelling, it's just, you know, it's sort of the shock. And the shock of it, I don't know, we all have the internet. Like, you could see all sorts of crazy fucked up shit, like animated shit in particular. You know, like, so that's not, like, the shock factor, like, all of it feels a little, and I don't want to fault Kirkman, although I think it's, like, he did the adaptation, if I understand it correctly.
But I believe so. Yes.
But I just think that, like, there's a lot of, like, my criticism is, I have two. I think when we do the show and we talk about the greatest comic book of all time, half of the conversation, not half, sometimes, you know, it fluctuates, a big portion of the conversation is about the art. And I cannot get past this animation. Like, I don't want to just, like, dunk on it and say it's terrible, but, like, it's if you have a spectrum, you know, like, at one end of the spectrum is those DC made-for-video movies and I would say kind of like Castlevania, like it's fine, it's adequate. They can, you know, like it's like G.I. Joe when we were youngsters. And then like at the other end of the spectrum, you have like, you know, Love, Death, and Robots and my beloved Dora Hedoro, like just fucking great animation. And it just like, to me, it is baffling to have this sort of like the pedigree of this show with this amazing cast. You've got Mark Hamill and John Hamm, and like you have great like voice actors and throwaway roles. Like this huge cast of like 40 names, but then just this like this very, very, very basic animation. It's just disfiguring. It's like, I feel like you get one of like, you can do something that's sort of fun and relevant, or you can just make a nice animated version of your story, you know, that you wrote 15 years ago. And he did neither. Right. It's not a nice enshrinement of an animation of his story. And it's also like, you know, you have a second, you know, bite at the apple, you know, like, I think it's that thing. If you watched the Watchmen HBO series, like, sure, you can retread the old story, which is fine. But we've also, you know, it was speaking sort of in conversation with its time, you know, in that case, 20 years ago. And I think, like, in particular, Invincible, I think, it spawned out of Savage Dragon, right? So, like, totally, like, it's in parallel to, like, Savage Dragon. I think a lot of its sort of, like, a lot of its makeup is sort of, like, I don't want to say a riff, you know, like, because it's original, of course, in its own ways, but, like, it does a lot of the same stuff. And it's sort of, like, taking the conventions of comics and telling them straight. But like a lot has happened in the last 10 years. We have all these cinematic adaptations of like, I feel like there's a constant conversation, especially now with like the whole Snyder Cut, you know, fandom fandom interacts with the stuff that we watch now in this way that it hasn't in the past or as directly. So like, you know, you have a very vocal like segment of people who are interested in the people in the buildings that get thrown up, you know, blown up in these sort of alien invasions. There's a lot of stuff that sort of like people who have been introduced into comics over the last 10 or 15 years, you know, like, I feel like that isn't being like, there's nothing in this sort of, in this adaptation that is in concert or in conversation with any of that that's happening in the world now, or how we talk about comics or think about comics, but isn't like, and the way it like, oh my God, like the high school stuff is so like 45-year-old man who hasn't been in a high school like everything takes place at a locker. It's just so, it's like, it's very basic. It is depressing. And like you were saying, there are all these great references to it in the book that aren't as reduced to like, you have this one location where these five people meet in different ways. I'm sorry, I spoke a lot, go on.
No, you're right. And I think I mean, first about the high school stuff, they definitely butchered my boy, William. He's fucking terrible on the show. He's same with, and I'm torn. because of what they did with Rexplode. Because I don't like it, but I love Jason Mantzoukas, and
I love Jason Mantzoukas. He's awful.
Parts in the show, but like as part of the Invincible show, I don't like. So like, I'll just watch clips of. Like, there's a part where I think he flies away and he yells, like, thanks, asshole. Like, I was like, I like that just because it's Jason Mantzoukas, but, like, as part of Rexplode. Because he's not, like, I mean, he's not, like, a dimwit in the book. But I don't know. But to the animation point, yeah, it is what is it, like, you know, there is animation now, like, where they're obviously... I don't know if it's not like Flash, but I don't know what this is working in, but it isn't clearly that like limited palette and then using the CG because the what are they called? The Flarkins?
The constantly invading aliens.
Yeah, like that is just like a CG horde, and it looks like fucking garbage when they run back.
Oh my god, the 3D stuff sucked. I mean, it's not the 3D stuff is fine. It's just so clearly different from the regular animation, and that sort of the lighting, cliff,
yeah,
it's embarrassing.
Right, and like again, one of the cool things about Invincible was, it was clearly like Kirkman at times. Playing on the tropes of superhero comic books, and I mean everyone like knows the famous page where he's talking about like the reuse of panels and how that's lazy and like it's the repeated panels, and then like it's fucking like that's smart, and there's like a lot of fun stuff they do with it, and like as the series expands like full pages and stuff like that, so like they were like having fun within the medium as well, which again, you could translate into the show and be like, here's, you know, tropes we pick up on TV shows or movies now. And they don't do any of that.
It's a lack of ideas. Like, I feel like you're not bringing anything fresh at it, and you're not even executing the stuff that's there. Like, who wouldn't hold on to the Nolan reveal until, like, that's just baffling to me.
Yeah, it seems like a lack of confidence in the story, which again, like the comic works because you are instantly invested in, I think, these people. Because again, he writes them as like boring. Like there's the one panel where they're all sitting at the dinner table and it's the big reveal that, like, you know, I got my powers today. And mom's like, oh, that's nice. She does something else. Like, but in the show, it's like this big thing, and they have to address it, and like I don't know, like it's lost that he's like a novelist, I don't know. But one thing about, like, again, you have like this kind of amazing like art to pull from, and what they kind of set up. But what also is weird is I didn't forget, but I always kind of forget that was co-created originally with Corey Walker, because I think everyone, you know, very much like The Walking Dead, associates it with different artists. I think Ryan Ottoli, who did probably what, 70, how many did he go? Went to like 114 issues, and I think he came on at like 8 or so.
When I think of the series, I only think of him, actually. I forgot that it's like Walking Dead, but it was Stuart Moore for like a little bit of it, and then I totally fucking love that guy,
Stuart Moore? Art.
Yeah. I'm embarrassed to get his name wrong. I'm a fan,
but yeah, it's kind of weird because I really like Corey Walker's art in the first part, because it's kind of out of place for a superhero comic book. Like, it doesn't look like your standard fare, which like Ottoli is, but in a good way, especially when he's able to kind of do the more like insane stuff, like especially when the violence picks up and we get like the like stuff in space. But I just picked this panel because I like that Walker very kind of like a Mignola style in essence, yeah. Like a lot of like silhouettes and stuff. The dot eyes at times are weird when he continues it, but and I think he came back to finish out when Ottilie took a break, and then Ottilie did like the last 12 issues or something, I think. I don't remember. But
I would say this though, speaking like to harp on the animation again, I feel like Ottilie had the definitive like look of the book, and I feel like it's deeply influenced by cartoons in particular. Like the sleekness of it.
Like Saturday morning, like the show, or it's supposed to be like a Saturday morning cartoon.
Which is why it's so appalling that they didn't lean more into that. You know, like I feel like with the two of them, they meet and they can meet in the middle in this way that they don't. And it's a thing that I think I'm frequently bummed out by. Like I don't know if you saw the DC New Frontier. I mean, the DC stuff, I gotta tell you, I read this stuff as a kid. I love a lot of it. I always get suckered in. Like, I got pulled in, and I'm like, I just want to see what the Judas contract is like. I know that they're terrible, but how can I say no? I just want to see, like, Killing Joke. And then, like, I'm 10 minutes in, and I'm like, why? It's Lucy and the football all over it. Like, every single time, like, this is barely watchable. It's not, like, I think they're trying, but they're, you know, ultimately they're just so cheap. It's hard to see past the cheapness. And the idea that when New Frontier came out, I was like, well, I don't know, maybe they'll try and do something kind of Darwin Cookie, and they get like a little there, like they certainly move in that direction, but it just seems like with the versatility of animation that you could take a style, you know, particularly with comics where I think they're like Mignola, you could have a Mignola animated movie, and yet they don't do that, and there's a constant frustration. And I think this show in particular, because I enjoyed, and I'm not slamming Castlevania, I watched, I think, is it three seasons or two, either way, I watched it all the way up, so like I enjoyed it and I liked it, and I'm not bad mouthing it, but the animation, it's like this, I think, where you know, like it's a, you know, like, oh, this could be better, and everything else is so good. The voice acting is so good, and I think the stories were fine. Like, it could have been a more enjoyable thing, and it just, this feels like that again, where it's like, God.
Yeah, I feel like after, and again, it's a big budget movie, but after like Spider-Verse, there's like no.
Oh yeah.
Like that's a living comic book, and I don't know like where Kirkman's name is in like the world of entertainment at this point, but I still feel like, you know, for some reason there's like still Walking Dead things going. Like, I feel like having a new Kirkman property has to be like, there has to be some money behind that, so like to feel so cheap is crazy to me. And like the one Kirkman thing I did like, it was I forgot I did Outcast. I liked that show. I thought that show was great.
Oh yeah,
and they canceled that, and I really liked that comic a lot, because oh shit, who's on that? It's fuck, who's that artist? Shit, it's
gonna hold on. I'm on it,
but yeah, that it, the mood in that is he gets really good artists.
Paul Azaketa.
Oh yeah. Oh fuck, yeah, I forget that.
Azaketa. Apologies, Paul, for butchering your name.
Yeah, so I don't know if maybe there's not a lot. It's an Amazon show, so maybe there's good Amazon shows.
I can't defend that. It's got this voice cast. Like, would be one thing if you had like some of the usual suspects.
A useless character that we didn't even address that. The whole security guard, two openings, fucking insulting. Like, that's when you open the book or the show on, and like, it makes no sense. They don't kill him, like, and then
I imagine it's going to be a running joke, right?
Yeah, and maybe it's like, because in the comic, again, something I always liked is they almost always kind of did a time jump. They would show you, like, it was like, that, oh, I can't believe I got into this situation. Like, how did I get here?
Yeah.
Which was fun. And then this was like, here's this weird John Hamm voicing. Because, again, the show starts off with
the brothers.
Yeah, the Mahler twins and the Guardian. So, like, again, like, they're not even mentioned in the comic for a while. Like, it's, I don't know.
No, if you have that sort of cast, I can't imagine that money wasn't on the table. Obviously, it's disappointing. It's acceptable because, like, the thing, seeing this, what I thought was like. A lot of the stuff that's going on here that, like, once the story gets going and, like, once the, like, the parts that start working, once they start to kind of roll forward, like, I was like, I love Venture Brothers. I mean, I absolutely, like, adore it. And I don't think you can, like, there just isn't cheaper art. Like, yeah. But there's a Bad News Bears quality to it where you're like, I will see past anything, you know, because I just love the thing that you're doing. And I, like, in that thing that I was saying earlier, I just think that, like, I think comics, like, I think everything has moved on from 2003 or 2005, you know, when it first came out. But, like, I feel like that particular mode that Invincible is in, and that kind of Savage Dragon-ish, Venture Brothers-ish, like, they're playing jokes to people who understand the conventions of comics. Like, you have to sort of know comics to get the jokes. So they're assuming that you're already sort of embedded in that, you know, like, with a certain amount of, like, comic IQ, and that sort of doubles the enjoyment of the, like, I was just kind of going through and reading up on the Wikipedia. And, like, they were doing, like, little Wikipedia annotation where they're like, this character is a stand-in for Wonder Woman, and this character is a stand-in for blah, blah, blah. And I was like, it's so weird to have to articulate that, because I think so much of it is, you're just, it's in your DNA. You just know what they're pointing at, that stuff. Anyway, I say all this to say, like, in the intervening years, I feel like that has also grown and evolved. And it just would have been nice to sort of, like, to see him, like, if you're gonna do a second bite at the apple, like, you know, bring in some cool stuff. And he had no problem changing and consolidating for the, you know, obviously he made a bunch of changes just for whatever, I don't know if it's pacing or what the idea is. But so he, like, it's not like he was like, no, 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 don't mess with the text. He's cutting and pasting at, you know, all over. So add in some, you know, like, it's so many failed opportunities. And then, like, if you're just going to do, like, okay, it's just a cartoon version of my old story, it doesn't even succeed on that level. It's just, it's a, you know, double bummer.
Yeah, it's, I think the first episode, which is written by Kirkman, or at least he's the credited writer, feels like a big lack of confidence. And again, maybe that's not him. Maybe that's, like, I don't know, producers or people saying, like, you got to do this. But, like, again, they introduce the Guardians. They start the series off with the Guardians because they want you to be shocked at the end of that first episode when they kill them. But, like, so at that point, you have two force-fed things in there, and everything in between is just, like, boring, awkward stuff with Mark and Nolan. And I had a thought. I don't remember what you said. Fuck. What were you talking about? You were
the
I remember. I think one of the biggest like egregious moments in the show is the part where he makes the joke about maybe my name should be Ass Kicker. No, like, that's dumb. And that's almost like the, maybe it was like maybe this is too late for Invincible, because you have things like, I mean, at that point, they're directly calling out Kick-Ass, which, like, this is obviously, like, Invincible is obviously a better Kick-Ass, because they're both of that time. But this doesn't do, this, like, slides more towards, like, the juvenility, if that's a word, of Kick-Ass. Like, it doesn't, like, rise above kind of what Kick, and I like the first, trade or arc or whatever volume of Kick-Ass, but it's, this feels like it's just like falling back into that. And again, it doesn't take like any steps to be unique outside of the book, and it just feels like it takes like a lot of like steps back into like not being comfortable with like, and it's crazy because again, like the book goes like Walking Dead, you feel like you read it, and I gave up on it because I was like, I don't know where this book is gonna go that isn't the same stuff. But Invincible, I'm like, you keep reading it, and it's like, this could go anywhere and do anything and just continue to grow, and it does. And like, I don't get that.
No. That's the, I mean, I also bailed on Walking Dead, and I also, I think, there's just a point at which I don't want to like, this is not as like, I'm not fully dissing either of these. I'm not dissing Kirkman and then I'm not dissing Invincible the comic, and I'm not dissing, I am a little dissing Walking Dead a little. I think it's a hard thing to sustain, and I think that like the thing that he is good, like I think he sort of like taking a serial, like the soap opera quality of serials, and I don't mean that disparagingly, like the sort of being able to sort of like, you know, have small threads, large threads sort of running concurrently, some things are tying up while other things are extending out, and sort of like the way these branch out and interact with other things and create like new characters, like it's like Dickens, you know, like the plot is constantly in motion, and it's sometimes going in ways that you don't expect, and another, and like that is like, that's the magic of comics. I think like back, there's less of it now because people don't have these sort of long runs on comics, but back when you would have like somebody like a writer and an artist team on a book for like five or some odd years, you would have these things pay off later. You would have things that like the whole arc of Nolan, you know, like, oh no, he's terrible. And then like, oh, you know, like you want him to sort of like, you want him to end in a better place. I think the fight between the two of them, like the father-son dynamic, is interesting. I think I think sometimes, and I know nothing about his autobiography, so I'm not making any insinuations there, but like it's hard for certain things, like certain things just seep into people's work. And I think like a good example is Snyder, like in the Snyderverse, there are a lot of complicated relationships with fathers. So many that you can't help but think that like this is something that he's like deeply invested in exploring. So I only say that to say, like, what Kirkman does amazingly is sort of like get this ball rolling, and then like it's like volleyball, to mix two metaphors, he, you know, keeps it from hitting the dirt, you know, he keeps it up in the air and he keeps it bouncing, and like I think keeps it fresh for an amazingly long run. So like none of this is a diss, or I guess there's some dissing, but I don't, it's a diss out of like, I was rooting for you, like I would have loved for this to have been great. I would have loved for this to have had some of that magic. And I think whenever something kind of comes out and succeeds, it's thrilling. And especially if it, like, you know, if it is something you know, you deeply love, and you really like, oh, I really hope this like comes into the world, the world to be a better place with this in it. And you just want it to be, you want it to sort of prosper and thrive. Does that make sense?
Yeah. And yeah, it's weird because it is like, talking about the show negatively in the sense because of the quality of the book, and like going back to like, I think you mentioned kind of the, what you take away from the fight with Mark and Nolan, like in the comic, like when he says, you know, I never loved your mother, like you don't believe it because you see like several issues of them having this like, relationship and like being like this really cute couple. And like, when he gets, when it's going to get to that point in the show, like, I'll be like, no, I guess not. Like, I don't know. He seems like kind of a dick. Like, and that was what was great about Invincible. And again, the premise of the show, the greatest comic book of all time that I read this week, is like the comic book I felt like was one of the greatest kind of serialized comic. Like, to do 114 issues is insane. Like, especially nowadays, it's tough to do it, especially an independent book. And the great thing was he continually like built in seeds to things that he would pay off later down the line. Yeah. You like see it even in this first arc, like the stuff with the teacher who turns the kids into like exploding bombs and stuff.
Which I guess we're not even gonna get.
Yeah, I don't know. Which I mean, I guess I can understand why they don't want to do that, maybe. I don't know, but like he does, those are the things he was great about. And that is like why the Nolan reveal works so well in the comic, is because of the small trade-offs that he makes in the story. And for whatever reason, they're just not willing to do that in the show. And I don't know why. I don't see what is better. Like whatever they gave up hasn't given us anything better in terms of the show.
I'll say this. I watched it with my partner, and who is a comic person ish, but not, did not read Invincible. But I think knew the character. Although, no, I think, halfway through we realized he had been thinking of Sky High, not the movie, not Invincible, the comic. Kurt Russell and
that's a good movie.
The kid from Gentleman Broncos.
Yeah.
He was like befuddled all the way. Like, is this, because he'd heard good things about it. He's like, is this good? Is this supposed to be good? Who thinks this is good? I think.
My wife went to bed before the Nolan switch. She was like, I'm tired. And she's like,
oh,
she likes, I mean, this is the stuff that is like her way into comics is like she'll watch it. Like, she's like, when they gave the shield to what's his name, US Agent on the show, she was like,
yeah.
She's like, how could they do that? I'm like, well, it's a show. Like, it's not a big deal. And she was like, it's getting bad. And this, she was like, oh, I'm just going to go to bed. Like, there's nothing for me here. It's like, okay.
We didn't see it to the end. We stopped at the at the credits. I mean, we kind of wanted to quit before. We stopped at the credits. And then I, you know, for the show, I had to continue watching. And then, because then, like, he was just, like, I was just trying to, like, get his, I was like, because, I mean, I knew that the, like, I thought, like, oh, they're playing the long game with the Nolan thing, blah, 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 blah. And I, it was hard having to defend, because I think, like, the story as it's presented, which is this sort of, like, kid who has everything, you know, well-loved kid from a nice, you know, family, you know, prosperous, nice neighborhood, lives in a nice home. Like, all he wants in the world is, like, oh, the only thing I want is to get superpowers. And then, boom, he gets them. And then, like, he gets them. And is there any sort of, like, monkey's paw cost to that? No. It's just, like, at first you're not good at it, and then slowly you're going to get better. And the point at which the dad says, I think, the most unforgivable line of dialogue, kids think they're invincible, but you really are. Like, it's just such a – it's like, it's basic to the point – or I keep saying basic. It's reductive to the point of insulting the, you know what I mean? Like, it's the dumbest take on a comic book hero would be that line. Like, kids think they're invincible, but you really are. Like, is it like any story is about like how you're not actually invincible, or how, you know, like some twist on that, not just sort of like the basic read. It's just like getting a spoonful of sugar, nothing else, like nothing else to like gussy it up into being anything that it isn't, just the sugar. And like, and then when it ends, prior to the after credit sequence, it's just like, this is awful. There's no conflict. There's no like, what is it? Like, we're just supposed to be, you know, you're not even happy for the kid. Like he's not an easy to like character. Invincible or Mark as presented in the, I mean, he's not, you don't want to punch him, but he's not a deeply likable character in any way either. So like, it just, it was, and then when I saw that, I was like, well, and then I was like, oh, look, they're trying to, like, we're not that sweet little show. We're really, you know, we're going to twist up heads and pop people's eyes out. And I was like, oh, this is like too much in the, like, it's too much zagging on a zig. And none of it is sort of enticing. None of it is like, I mean, it's the thing you're saying. Like, it does not capture the magic of the story, which I think maybe after multiple issues you'll get to, or multiple episodes, I should say. But I don't think so, because they just aren't laying, like, the love triangle, which, isn't, yeah. Yeah, I mean, like, it isn't, they're not even,
no, because like in the comic too, is like, that's something where you're like, oh, this could, like, there's the tropey stuff they could do on it, and like, it is like a genuinely, like, you know, eventually, like, him and Amber break up, and it's like mute, like, it's not a end of the world thing. I'm pretty sure they're friends. I don't remember. I'm pretty sure it, like, it's like a nice thing, and like, he just moves on to like realizing he should be with Eve. But like, yeah, in the show, it's this weird, and go, like, I think, like you said, the biggest thing is that I think if I want to boil down why I don't like the show, and I'm glad you don't like it, because then we don't have to watch or talk about it again. is that Invincible line? Because like, the way it's presented in this show is telling Mark he is better.
Yeah.
But yeah, in the comic, the principal telling him, like, you know, Mark, you can't do those. You can't help everyone. That guy was bigger than you. You're not invincible. And like, it clicks in his head, like, oh, I am invincible per se. I should help everyone at no cost to myself. Like, I should be doing this. I can't help everyone. I will do it. And then that plays into, like, when he does have that interaction with Nolan, he's, you know, this is, again, the dad, and in the comic, it's a dad he loves and looks up to, and you are generally, like, he has to have that moment, like, you know, you can't, you know, I am part of these people. These are the people I protect. And, like, it works. And, like, in the show, I don't know how you get to that moment, because he is, which is weird, because I think the best voice performance is Steve Yeun, I think, is great. Who is normally out of the park great and everything. I think J.K. Simmons is phoning it in, and maybe this
J.K. Simmons is the wrong guy for the role, if I may be so bold. I mean, I totally love J.K.
like
Simmons.
COVID thing, I don't know, like, when they recorded that stuff, but like, he, again, part of the pacing of the show is like, well, this is like, sit on him for a while, and it's really fucking awkward, but like, he's just like, Reed's uninvested in his kid, and I enjoy Steve Yeun. I think Sandy Oh's really good.
Agreed.
Jillian Jacobs, I just don't think it's the right casting. I like her.
I don't mind. That one doesn't bother me. Jason
Mendoza. It's not egregious, and it's not bad. It's just, yeah, like, I read her as sweeter or warmer when I read her. That's my own thing, I guess.
Jason Mendoza is, I love.
Yeah,
love. Like, unapologetically, but I think he is, it's awful. I think he's actually kind of, I think he's dialed to 12, maybe, when
and it's so weird, because, like, you know, he is like a huge comic book fan, like, he's like an actor reader, so like, I feel bad.
Probably not his fault. Might have a director. I think they take like 5 or 6 different takes of these things, or not. You know, I think it's always different, but like, infrequently, you know, like, do it this way, and you're not in the, like, when the editor makes the choice that they make, you're not in, you can't add to that.
Like, even the part where Eve finds him in duplicate. Like, in the comic, they don't show it. It's like a surprise reveal of her reaction, and then she addresses it later. But in the show, it's like this huge comedic moment, and it's just like, okay, all right.
I feel like, yeah, every, I don't want to, like I said, I think the Alan the Alien came off nicely. I like the stuff that they're doing with, I like Clancy Brown doing the voice for Dark Blood. I think the voice cast is great. To be honest, like, it's an embarrassment of riches. Like,
really hard to fuck it up.
Yeah, which is why it's like, yeah, it's a. I'm glad that you didn't like it. I mean, I'm glad that we don't have to cover it anymore. I'm sorry that you didn't like it. I thought about it and I was like, oh man, what do I do?
Honestly, I mean, it's good because then I can watch shows. I don't have to watch something I've seen before. Because now I can watch, like, I really want to watch Warrior. I haven't watched that yet. It was on what, Showtime or something? I think it's on HBO Max now. But the Bruce Lee,
yeah,
was his story about Chinese Americans.
No, there's tons of stuff to choose from. Like, I kind of wanted to, like, I've been reading a lot, so I've been trying to, like, take a break from the television a little bit. So it's hard to stay off of shows because I feel like there's always one coming out and you want to sort of like Falcon and the Winter Soldier or whatever, and you don't want to, like, if you're going to be involved in the world, you don't want it to be like, you want to be spoiled by it, so you kind of have to watch it in real time. It's good to have it off this list. And like, it was also something like from the jump my partner was like, I'm not, you're like, you're gonna have to watch this on your own.
I watched episode 2 and 3 while doing work at the office today in the background. But
that's kind of the way to do it.
Speaking of, I guess, good episodes is so we'll be back not next Friday, but the following Friday, I think, with our return to what I'm excited for, the Invasion. The Invasion got put on hold.
Invasion has been moved to back order. So I forgot Secret Invasion is going to be one of the Marvel series. This might be back half stuff we should do after the show is over, but do we want to, is there any, like, because we had talked about, like, we'll do the Invasion itself and then maybe do a wrap up, but is there anything we want to save for to maybe revisit when the TV series, presumably in a year or so, finally comes out. Although, huge asterisk by that, I'm not sure how closely the Secret Invasion TV series is going to because I think they have their own agenda with the Skrulls.
In the Marvel U, the Skrulls aren't bad guys, they're the good guys.
Yeah, no, totally. Although you can always, like, I mean, I think a part of the Skrulls is, like, you have these sects.
Sex, yeah.
No, not Skrull sex. That's a different podcast. So, like, there's a possibility. I don't know. We'll see. I mean, I'm sure there's going to be some, you know, in someone you, a character you love is secretly a Skrull or two, but we'll see how that pans out. Either way, I was just, forgotten about that, so keep that in mind. So 2 weeks hence, or not next week, but the week after, we'll either
return to the Invasion, or maybe we'll kind of go back to our other format of us picking stuff and doing it. I think now, kind of, I guess if doing the show more regularly every other Friday, will allow us to kind of have these what should be funner episodes of current things. But this was not fun because we had to watch that show. But will allow us to kind of go back and forth and kind of do what we want to do. But yeah, so either it will be something we've read, or maybe we'll go to Invasion.
I I didn't enjoy Invincible, but I did like watching a show and kind of talking about it. Like, I think that's a
yeah, it was better than watching it and having to sit by myself and feel bad about what I did.
I also forced my partner to watch the Snyder Cut, which wasn't full force.
I didn't have force.
Did you?
I did watch the Snyder Cut over 2 days, but I did not.
Me too. 2 days. I did 2 hours and then was like, that's enough of that. And then came back for the end. I totally love the nightmare sequence. I absolutely can't stand Jared Leto's Joker. And his performance, I don't enjoy, but the sort of like, if you took that little bit out of it, the premise of it, I thought, oh, this is, I wish this had been the movie. This was fun.
Yeah. I at least thought the take on the Leto Joker could work if they had come to that point. Like, if it wasn't just kind of thrown in, like, I like the idea that there isn't a, like, they didn't really have a tete-a-tete. Like, it wasn't like a you complete me type thing. Like, they kind of actively hated each other. But it was just like, not, it was out of context with the movie, felt it, but I enjoyed that. Overall, I think, like, I obviously liked it better than the Whedon cut. I thought it was fine. It was like, again, you have 4 hours, so like you can take a lot of swings. And I think, like, overall, I think it was a better thing. And kind of like what we talked about prior to it, as much as I don't really like the like fandom behind it kind of toxicity of like whether you like it or not, I enjoyed seeing someone who definitely had a clear vision, like that was his movie, and like it was a whole different movie, and like I enjoyed seeing kind of that aspect to it. And in many cases, I thought it was, you know, what he wanted to do was better, whether that wasn't hindsight, because he was reshooting things, so like I wonder how much was like, oh, that didn't work, let's do this.
No, given 4 years and $70 million, if you do not turn in a better version, it's not. I don't know how that's not possible. No, everything we already said before. The only thing I would, when the boom tubes didn't boom, and I won't shut up about it. So write your letters.
Like in movies, like that is like the most overused sound is like the Nolan wah, and like just do that. I will say I liked second half Dark Side when he was like fully like armored up. I liked that. I thought Desaad was cool, but
Desaad was, I agree.
They made like Steppenwolf with like puppy dog eyes, like
yeah.
okay, who cares? Especially now that they canceled New Gods, I don't know how I feel.
I don't know. We discussed this on the show. I don't love the fourth world. I was sort of intrigued by like Ava DuVernay. Like, it'd be interesting to see what she would do. Maybe it's a bullet dodge. Like, maybe like
it was with your boy Tom King. So.
I was greatest comic book of all time, Rogues Gallery, Tom King. I feel like
it would have been a whole movie of them sitting on a couch.
Yeah, Jesus Christ. Like, should we get a dog, Barda? Should we get a dog? The boom tubes and Aquaman littered. That was like, from the minute when Aquaman threw his Jack Daniels bottle into the ocean, I was like, this is fan fiction. I'm out of this movie and I'm not returning. Anyway, so like, hopefully there'll be good shows that we can talk about in the future. Like, the idea that we had initially talked about or floated of like maybe sticking with it every couple episodes, you know, as the series progressed, I didn't think it was a bad idea. I thought it would be fun to stick with the series and kind of like... Yeah. Like, the thing that happened with WandaVision, I don't know that that would have been, like, there was certainly more than enough coverage on WandaVision. I don't know if we would have added to the conversation but I loved the fan. Like, I know I dissed the Mephisto people,
but it's silly, but at the same time, like, sitting with someone, like, I have a coworker at Barnes & Noble. He's, like, the only other person who I talk to that, like, engages in these things. So, like, every Sunday I know I'm, like, oh, I'm going to get to talk to Mark about, like, what I thought about the Flag Smashers and, like, what are our theories on that. And, like, as long as you're not, like, angry when those things don't happen, it's fun. Like,
yeah, no. Well, I mean, I think... like, I think all fan theorizing, I love fan theorizing. And I think, like, I know I dissed the Mephisto people and the Dark Plagueis people, or whatever. I under the umbrella of I love fan theory, I also pick fights with it. It'll never be as fun as the thing that you think it will be. Like, the thing that you think it be is always going to be better than what they can actually come up with. Like, when they were talking about Jim from The Office being Reed Richards, like, I was like, we are fully into tinfoil hat, like, territory. but it's your party. Have fun with it. And then being mad at the end, I think, is only in comparison to what you, like, it's always more satisfying when the thing that you get, you're like, oh, that wasn't what I expected, but I still enjoyed it. Versus sometimes, like, well, that wasn't what I expected, and, like, I have some quibbles, you know, like that. I think, like, you can be both. You can be like, oh, there were some fan theories that were interesting, and what they did was, you know, not fully as interesting to me as those theories. But apart from that, like, I had some issues with the, like, the finale of WandaVision. I can kind of... or even Star Wars, you know, like what they decided, like, yeah, it's a bummer they didn't do these other things that I liked, but apart from that, like, this Palpatine line is a little wonky to me.
Yeah, it's, like I said, it's, I think, it is fun to talk about, like, it's just, I don't know. Everything is... because when you're theorizing, you're ultimately theorizing to what you want the most versus, like, what is, like, probably happening or going to happen. So, yeah. Because even I was like, all right, so they're going to have Darth Plagueis, and that's going to make the prequels relevant because I kind of like the prequels, and I want them to, and I want this.
Oh, wait, Kyle, were you a Darth Plagueis truther?
I was, because I was like, you know, if you listen to Snoke's music, it sounds very similar to the scene in Revenge of the Sith, where in the opera, and Darth Plagueis' theme sounds very similar, and it could be
not.
But at the same time, when it was the Emperor, I was like, okay, that's fine. That's stupid. It's just as stupid.
For me, no, it's a fine theory. The part of it that I think I didn't like is the persistence of, like, there's a similar thing with Thrawn. Everybody wants, I guess Thrawn actually is happening, which is fine. Like, it's fine. But what you're hoping before you finally see what they do, what you're hoping is like, oh, I hope they do something better than that. Like, I hope they don't just fall on, like, you know, like, we'll just take some old piece of lore and wedge that in. You're like, no, make something organic that you create that works. But then having seen, like, oh, well, you didn't do that either, then I would have rather had Darth Plagueis. But, you know, casting a glance forward. So 2 weeks from now, but the week after.
Yeah, so if you are listening to the audio version of this, which will be on the main Pages and Panels feed, on April 16th, we'll be live again. We're always live on our YouTube. I know, I think more of us more consistently being on will kind of make that easier, but that will be our goal. Every other Friday, do a video version on the YouTube. So if you want to come chat with us what we're talking about, you can check the Pages and Panels Twitter. And before then, we'll kind of post what we're going to be talking about, whether it's our picks or something more relevant in the kind of comic space. And then the audio version will go up on the feed shortly after. So whatever's easiest for you listeners or watchers or whatever that is. And it will stay up on the Page and Panels YouTube thingy magic.
Yeah. Oh, that's very concise. That sounds,
But we will be back then. So thank you very much for listening, or if you're watching this in the future, watching. But come back on the 16th or listen. Again, Pages and Panels stuff, or Jack, quickly, what do you got?
What do I got? Oh, you know what? I got. I'm at The Villainist on Twitter. There's stuff I'll have soon. But I think next week I am actually one of the creators for a anthology, Yule, an anthology of Christmas horror. I have a small, a 4-page story that will be in there. And I think the Kickstarter for that will go into live next week. So I'll blab about that later. And then more stuff from, you know, after a long fallow period, more stuff to talk about later at another point.
Awesome. That's exciting. Yeah, so next time we're live, we'll have an active Kickstarter participant. So that'll be good. We'll bug you about that.
It'll be like a pledge week on NPR, like for just the price of a cup of coffee.
That's when I turn NPR off.